You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to a Friday edition of the Orange and Brown Talk podcast. Dan Lobby and Mary Kay Cabot. We are going to do a Hey MK edition here. I'm not sure if this will be the last Hey MK before the draft. I haven't exactly mapped out our schedule last week, but it might be the last Hey MK we put up here before the draft because it is coming up quickly. Actually, Mary Kay, I can't believe that we sat in an Andrew Berry pre-draft press conference yesterday and the draft is suddenly upon us. That's the first question here. Hey, Mary Kay, can you believe it's almost draft time?
No, I really can't. It really is upon us, and it feels to me like everything just went so fast. I got home from the Super Bowl on February 12th or something like that, and then went to the, what did we have next after that? The Combine. Then we had the Combine after that. Then I went to the NFL owners meetings. And I feel like I haven't even unpacked my bag from the last road trip of the regular season. I mean, it just keeps spinning forward. And now here we are already at the NFL draft, which seems to lead so very quickly into all of a sudden you wake up and you're at the mandatory mini camp in June, right? So it just is coming fast and furious, and it's almost time for some football.
You know, though, it is interesting, like, you know, we've obviously been doing these podcasts where we get these questions from our Football Insider subscribers for years. And, you know, it's always draft heavy. And just this year, we haven't been getting a lot of draft questions. There's just not a lot of buzz around the Browns and the draft right now, which, of course, you'd understand because they don't have a first round pick. But it's just been strange. And I think it's partially because they don't have a first round pick. But I also think it's because this roster it feels so set, and the draft, you know, I think Andrew Berry has done a good job of not making the draft make or break so much. It just feels like this is another one of those situations where, oh, okay, this is kind of what the draft should feel like. Maybe there should be a little more buzz around it than there is right now, but maybe this is sort of what it should be instead of it being the team's Super Bowl every single year.
Yeah, we should talk to some writers from other cities like New England in those years, or, you know, maybe even Pittsburgh, where the draft wasn't the Super Bowl for the team. It would be interesting to hear how that shakes out in those cities. But I think more so than anything, when there's not a quarterback involved, there's just not that much buzz. And so I don't even think it's just the first round pick. I think it's the fact that they don't need a quarterback. And in many, many other years, the buzz has been all about the quarterback. And, you know, the Baker Mayfield year, think about how intense that all was, trying to figure out what they were going to do. And that was one of several drafts where you had to wonder, are they going to take Myles Garrett number one overall, or are they going to go with a quarterback there? So that was the intrigue for so long. Not only, of course, did they have a first round pick, but they had the number one overall pick a couple of those years, back to back years, and they needed a quarterback. So we've gone from that, the pinnacle of draft buzz, to there's not even a starting job open on this football team right now. There's just not. So even if they draft someone amazing at number 54, there's a chance that that player is going to have to wait their turn behind a veteran.
Yeah, there was that stretch where they went number two, number one, number one. Now, of course, they traded out that number two pick. That was the Corey Coleman trade down, the Carson Wentz trade that, for all we know, is still ongoing and will forever. But yeah, it's very different now for so many different reasons. But speaking of quarterbacks, we're going to start there. We got two questions about Deshaun Watson. We'll start with this one from Mike Parker in Chester, Maryland. Hey, Mary Kay, given Deshaun Watson's injuries and personal issues, do you think he can still be an elite quarterback? If not, is he capable of being a top 10 quarterback?
It's a great question. It's a great question and one that we really can't definitively answer at this point. But I will say, if Deshaun Watson is healthy, I still think that he is as talented as he ever was. Quarterbacks are now playing until they're 42 years old in some cases. So I don't think age is really an issue with him. There is the layoff factor, but I sometimes like to use Geno Smith as an example for that. He didn't play football for many years and then went out to Seattle and excelled when they let him start 2 years ago. So I don't think the layoff factor is huge. The thing with Deshaun in my mind is all about the health. If he can come back healthy from the fractured glenoid bone and a repaired labrum, then I think he is the Deshaun of old. Why? We saw flashes of it last year when he was healthy enough to go out and play. And the only times he was healthy enough to go out and play, and he really wasn't completely healthy, were when he played in the Cardinals game and when he played in the Ravens game. And when I say healthy, you have to take that with a big, huge grain of salt, because the Ravens game, as we know, he was playing on a fractured shoulder and a high ankle sprain. Cardinals game, maybe fractured shoulder. So we just never really saw him healthy last season at all. And I think that if he's healthy, I think he's got phenomenal arm talent. I think he's got good field vision. I think he's got great instincts, good street ball vibe. So I think he can go play really, really high level football if the shoulder is going to hold up.
Yeah, I think the Geno Smith comparison is interesting, because I've tried to think about where, like, what are the examples of guys that have had layoffs, right? And so Geno Smith's a good one, because he was actually able to, like, at least play, right? He was on a roster, which is more akin to what Deshaun's been able to do outside of that suspension. At least he's been able to work out for the most part. And, you know, he's played 12 games at least, right? And been involved in practices and camps and training camps. I think, though, you know, Michael Vick is another guy that missed, I think it was 2 years, maybe 3 years, but of course he was in prison, so he couldn't even play football. So that's like a completely different scenario, but he came back and had a nice second phase of his career after all of that. So it's hard to find examples, but they're out there. But I think what we have seen in the little flashes is we know he's going to be in shape. We know he's still got the arm talent. We know he's still got the mobility. So all of those things, even if the answer is maybe he can't be an elite quarterback, and it sounds like you still think he could, you know, be an elite quarterback, even if the standard is the second part of that question, top 10, I don't think that's unreasonable. If we were to sit here and name the 10 best quarterbacks in the league, I bet we could find some guys that the best case of Deshaun Watson is better than.
Yes. I do think that the second part of that question, can he be top 10, is the floor for Deshaun Watson. I really do. If he's healthy, I really think so. Not just because of what he's capable of doing, but because of all of the other factors involved in this. And I'm talking about the talent around him. I think they've got a pretty good receiving core when you factor also in the tight ends. They've got a running game. They've got a great offensive line. And then they support all of that with a really good defense. If you've got the number one defense or even the number five defense this year, that's going to go a long way towards helping you, helping your stats, helping you get set up in good field position and, you know, keeping you on the field and those kinds of things. So I think that has something to do with it. And then if you look at the offense that Kevin Stefanski has run, and now this is going to be a completely different kind of offense, but generally, it's a quarterback-friendly offense where these guys end up with really good stats, where they've got tons of touchdown passes, very few interceptions, and the numbers usually turn out to be pretty good. Quarterbacks under Kevin Stefanski traditionally have had their best seasons of their career. Same thing with Ken Dorsey. Ken Dorsey coached Cam Newton to amazing seasons, an NFL MVP season, and coach Josh Allen to an NFL MVP runner-up season. So you've got the scheme going for you. You've got the talent going for you. And then you've got your own ability going for you. So he should be top 10 just by virtue of all of those things.
Yeah, if he plays like he did against Tennessee and against Arizona, and then of course, you know, Baltimore is that elite level, right? But if it's even just what he did against Tennessee and Arizona, I think that's top 10 quarterback caliber play. I mean, that Tennessee game was really, really good. It was sort of sneaky good, but when you kind of looked at the numbers afterwards, you were like, wow, that was a really impressive football game that he just played. So if he can just do that, then I think you're looking at a guy that is in that discussion for top 10. And I think that's probably good enough for what the Browns need from him. Maybe it doesn't live up to that contract and all the other stuff. But again, if you're winning football games, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. And the Tennessee game was early on in the process where they were still trying to figure each other out, and they were still trying to figure out what are the best plays for Deshaun. How are we using Elijah Moore? You know, by that point, they had already lost Jack Conklin, and they were acclimating DeJuan Jones in as the right tackle. And we know that Andrew Berry firmly believes that it doesn't matter if you're the left tackle or the right tackle. Those guys have to be equally good. So I do think that flashes were shown in that game, and it was still early on in the process. And who knows what that season could have turned out to be had he not taken that hit. Had he not taken that hit at the end of that 10-yard scramble in the third quarter by safety Amani Hooker, and it changed the whole season. Now, amazingly, they called up Joe Flacco and saved the season, because once we found out that that shoulder was fractured, to be honest with you, I didn't think that they were going to go to the playoffs. I really didn't. I thought it's just too hard to make the playoffs in the NFL, in this division, for you to be able to do it without Nick Chubb, without Jack Conklin, and then without Deshaun Watson. But they pulled a rabbit out of a hat, and they pulled it off. But that was a decisive moment when he took that hit.
Okay, so another Deshaun question, and this kind of goes with what we've been talking about. It comes from Paxton Stiles in Cheverly, Maryland. Hey, Mary Kay, my question about Deshaun is, he starts by saying he's asked you about if Kevin Stefanski's future is tied to Deshaun Watson. We've addressed that. You've addressed that, that you didn't think it would have much impact after these 3 years with Deshaun. But his question now, hey, Mary Kay, how bad would things need to get with Watson for them to pull the plug on him? We're coming up on 3 years of reasons why he might not be as good as the Browns want.
It's going to come down to winning football games. If you're out there throwing interceptions and you're not being effective, you're not going to be out there playing. That's just the bottom line. It doesn't matter how much money that you're making. It doesn't matter how many draft picks they gave away for you. What matters is, can you go out there and perform? He has to be performing, and he has to be playing at a very, very high level. I don't think they're going to have a super long leash on him just because of what they spent on him. I don't think they can afford to do that. They have a whole roster poised to go to a championship, and look what happened last year. They could have done it had they not laid a complete egg in that Houston Texans wild card game. So if they have to move on without Deshaun, if he's not who he's supposed to be, which I think the only way that happens is because of the shoulder. But if he's not himself, then I think they just move forward. This train is moving along towards Championshipville. That's what they want. And they're not going to wait for him. So he's got to be the Deshaun that they expect him to be to keep that job.
So I'm kind of trying to find like a name here that's not like an elite guy, but it's like a guy that you can win football games with. We've seen teams. How about this name? A guy that we have already mentioned once on this podcast.
Baker?
Actually, I hadn't gotten to that one yet. So Baker would be interesting, but I was thinking like Geno Smith. Like, what if he is like what Geno Smith has been the last 2 years in Seattle? Or if we really want to have fun, What if he is what Baker was last year for Tampa? If he's at that level of quarterback, but in that process, the Browns go 10-7, 11-6, make the playoffs, make it to the divisional round or the championship game. You know, they're in the mix to get to and win a Super Bowl, but he's not like a top five. He's more of like maybe top 10, more like top 10-ish, top 12, you know, top half of the league type of guy. Is that, I mean, I can't imagine they would just turn around and pull the plug on him in that case, even if he's not that elite level quarterback that they thought they were trading for.
So would you be saying like the following season? I mean, if like, he took them to the playoffs this year and they advanced and they maybe lost in the divisional round, are you talking about the following season? Would they pull the plug?
Yeah. Like, let's say that he's, I mean, let's say he's basically Geno Smith this year, who threw for 3,600 yards, had a 92 rating, completed 64% of his passes, 20 touchdowns, 9 picks. He was fine. Now the Seahawks went 9-8. But let's say he was Geno Smith and the Browns went 11-6 again and made the divisional round. That I don't know. That it feels to me like that wouldn't be enough for them to say, we've got to move on and figure out this quarterback position again.
No, I don't think that would be enough to do that. Plus, I think you would still be working off of, okay, he was coming back from the shoulder surgery in his first year back. Let's see what he's got in his second year back with that shoulder surgery another year behind him. So I think there's going to be a little bit of a built-in excuse there. But by the same token, once again, this team is not just all about the quarterback. They know they need good quarterback play, but they're going to keep chugging along. And if they do need to make a change, they'll make it. And I think they would have to then start to ask themselves, what could we get out of Jameis? Do we think Jameis has something more to give than Deshaun? And you never really know with that kind of situation either, because sometimes when a quarterback like that sits down for a long period of time and has to be a backup and comes back a little older, a little wiser, with a better supporting cast, a better defense, a better offensive line, sometimes some magical things can happen in the way that they happened for Joe Flacco here at the end of last season. That was the best team that he had played on in a long time. And he was also more hungry than he had been when he was consistently getting his opportunities. He had football taken away from him, and he knew that in order to get another chance, another maybe multi-year contract or multi-million dollar contract, that he was going to have to play really well. So you might be able to get something out of Jameis in that type of situation. So we're going to have to see how it all plays out. After listening to everything that I've heard over the past few weeks, my number one concern remains, how is he going to come back from the shoulder injury?
And, you know, like, I understand people might be listening to this and be like, well, if he's Geno Smith, he's making $230 million. Like, to me, that's beside the point. Like, I've talked about that before. That's in the past. That is what it is. But I guess the question I would have, like, if that's ultimately kind of where he lands, maybe it's not quite what you wanted, but if you can win with it, you do have to ask yourself, all right, so who are we going to replace him with? And that's never an easy question to answer. I think Browns fans know that. Now, maybe it would be Jameis, right? Maybe you give Jameis that other chance, but like you said, you just never quite know how that's going to work. So you have to weigh that in the discussion of, would you move on? What would it take to pull the plug? Okay, so then who are you putting in that spot over Deshaun? And is that going to be better?
Yeah, and that's why I think that it's important to always have your eye on the future, to be developing young quarterbacks, to be making sure that you have your eyes on the pulse of the whole quarterback landscape out there. In the event that it doesn't work out, you've got to be ready to roll with plan B. And some teams have had to do that. Look what the Pittsburgh Steelers just had to do. They drafted their quarterback in the first round, and it didn't work out. Did not work out for them. And they completely pivoted and went to Russell Wilson and Justin Fields this year. I mean, that is shaking up the universe right there. So sometimes you have to do that. And in Denver, it didn't work with Russell Wilson for them. And now they're pivoting. sometimes it happens, and sometimes it happens at a great financial cost, and you can't help it. I mean, the Browns are already, they've already blown through 2 out of 5 years at $46 million a year. So you're already more than $90 million into this thing with nothing to show for it from that quarterback, right? So now they've got, that leaves them with 140 left. And if it works out, it works out. If it doesn't, they just have to find a way to overcome it. And I think this front office would somehow be able to overcome it. You once again would have to pull a rabbit out of a hat. You would have to do that. But I think they're smart enough in this organization to figure it out if they have to.
And we know, like, there probably is buried somewhere in Andrew Berry's office under lock and key plan B, right? I mean, we knew with Baker, they did it, right? They had a plan B for Baker. That plan B materialized and they pounced. So I'm sure somewhere he would never admit it. He would never tell us, but this is a group that always has contingencies. So I'm sure there's something out there that is a plan B for them.
Well, I have the plan B, Dan.
Okay.
Tom Brady.
That's true. He did do that. What, I don't know what that was, a podcast or if that's a YouTube show. I don't know what that was, but yeah, he did throw out there that he might have an interest in coming back.
Right. And we know that he is ageless and that he just somehow is reversing the aging process. And who knows, if you plug him into a system like this with this kind of talent and these coaches, you just never know what you might be able to get. So he would certainly be on my list.
Well, and let's not forget the Browns brought in Mike Vrabel. So maybe they've got an in. Like, it's not going to be hard for them to get Tom Brady's number if they want it. So just got to call up old Mike. Maybe that was the plan all along. Maybe that's, this whole Mike Vrabel thing was just a twisted way to put themselves in the Tom Brady sweepstakes if they need to.
It could be. You heard it here first. The Browns should sign Tom Brady.
Love it. All right. Well, we got to take a break after that. We'll be back with more questions on the Hey Mary Kay edition of the Orange and Brown Talk podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And welcome back to the Orange and Brown Talk podcast. Dan Lobby, Mary Kay Cabot, the Hey Mary Kay edition of the podcast. Questions from our Football Insider subscribers. Cleveland.com/Browns, the blue banner at the top of the page to get involved with that. Chris in Chicago. Hey Mary Kay, I know it's way too early for this question, but in your opinion, will this year's team's record be better, worse, or about the same compared to last year?
That is such a great question, and I'm surprised nobody has asked us that question yet, because I've kind of thought about it. I think that the schedule is so much harder. So that's one thing to consider. And we know about all those great quarterbacks that they have to face this year. What we don't know yet, of course, is how Deshaun Watson is going to be. And we really don't even know how Nick Chubb is going to be. The more I think about it, and I texted this to our texters today, that it just seems to me people are going to have to manage their expectations and realize he's probably not going to be playing early on. I don't even know if he's going to play until whatever, November. So we don't know yet exactly how those things are going to shake out. So I think there is a world in which they could only have 10 victories this year instead of 11, but it'll be probably somewhere around there because there is so much talent on this football team.
I think I'm going to say less. Fewer? I don't know. Is it less or fewer? I should know this. I'm the English major. Fewer. But anyway, fewer. I'm going to say fewer. And I think it's just because, like you mentioned, the schedule is more difficult. And, you know, some years, like last year was a year like this, some years 11 wins is kind of really good. The Browns actually had the second best record in the AFC last year. If the seeding would have been simply by record, they would have been the 2 seed. So they... 11 wins is a lot of wins. And I know 11 and 6, it might not might not blow you away with the 17 games. And I think we're still adjusting to kind of what good records are with that extra game. And there's some years where teams win 13 or a few teams win 12, 13 games. But I think you can go 10-7 next year and still be a really good team, still be in contention for the division. So I think I would say fewer wins, but I don't know that that's going to be an indication that they're necessarily a worse team this season than they were last season. I just think 11 wins is a lot. It's hard to win 11 games in the NFL.
Yes. And when you think about it, we know this. Think of all of those close calls that they had where it did go in their favor. There were absolutely probably four or at least five games that could have just as easily gone the other way, right? I mean, when you think about it, you know, San Francisco, their rookie kicker stepping up and missing the game-winning attempt, that right there could have meant the difference between making the playoffs and not making the playoffs, the foot of a rookie kicker, right? Then you go over to Indianapolis and Gardner Minshew's out there playing his heart out and almost brought that team back for that victory. And a couple of calls didn't go their way at the end of that game. And Jim Irsay, their owner, says the league even told him those were bad calls at the end of that game. So that narrow 39-38 victory could have gone the other way. And then you had several other things along the way that happened like that. You had, you know, you didn't have to face an Aaron Rodgers. You got Joe Burrow when he was coming off of his calf injury. You got Trevor Lawrence 6 days after he suffered such a gruesome high ankle sprain that there was no way in heck I thought he was going to be able to play that game. So there were a good five games. And, you know, I guess it could be argued that it's like that every year, but it seemed to me that there were an inordinate amount of close games and breaks that went their way this year. So they have to hope that they get some of that same luck next year.
Yeah. So I did say they would have been I think they actually would have been the three seed last year had they had divisions not mattered, but I don't know. Maybe they would have cared more about that last game of the season and would have won that game, which would have gotten them into that two spot. So who knows? But still, the point is 11 is a lot, but you're right. Like, that when you think about the things that are the most fickle in the NFL, right? Turnovers can kind of go up and down year to year. And those one score games, look at Minnesota, the drop that they had. You know, they won a bunch of tight one score games 2 years ago. And then, you know, that luck kind of failed them a little bit this year. And they end up going 7-10. And now they're going to have a new quarterback. So a lot can change in this league when you're relying on one score games and certain things going your way. I'm not ready to make any kind of prediction though. We're never actually ready to make predictions, but I am surprised no one's asked about that. We usually do get a lot of those questions. That schedule's coming out soon, which by the way, we always talk about this. How are you feeling about London? Or do you feel like this team is going to end up going to London?
I do. I think this team is going to end up going to London. And my only concern, Dan, is how I'm going to get you there, too. Because you have to come and help me cover
this. We can start a GoFundMe.
Yes, let's do it. We got to get you there. I did it by myself last time. And I think you should be there. I think Ashley should be there, too. So I don't know how we're going to make that happen. Maybe we could have some lemonade stands, even at the Greenbrier if we had to. So they like lemonade there at the Greenbrier, I think. Don't you think?
I'm sure they do. They can stop by our little tent.
Yeah. So we've got to make that happen. But yes, I do think that the Browns are going to be going to London. And maybe it's wishful thinking on my part. Maybe I'm trying to speak it into existence. But I absolutely love London. It's amazing. If you haven't been there and you can somehow ever scrape together the money to go, it's phenomenal. So I love London. I hope we get to go. And I think it would be good for the Browns. I think it would be a lot of fun. It would be good for them. And the Jaguars, you can't really go by their home record. I can't remember what their record was in those London games last year. They had two of them. Maybe you could look it up if you have a second. but they were, I think, 5-3 at home last year. But that included one London game because they were not the home team for their other London game. So, yeah. So I'm not sure how that factors in.
I'm trying to find it now. Because they played back-to-back games there, right?
So yes.
They played Baltimore was the second one. I got to find.
Yeah. So,
yeah,
you are on a level. You're on a level playing field when you go over there, so to speak. Even though the Jaguars will be the home team, it's still more of a level playing field. You're not completely in front of your home crowd, and Browns fans do travel well. London has a lot of Browns fans in it. I mean, I happened upon the Browns backers bar there, and there's a lot of interest in the Cleveland Browns in London. So it's not really like it's all Jaguars fans there. It really does level the playing field to a certain extent. So I think it would be good for them from that standpoint. I think it would be exciting. I think it would be fun. I think the players would enjoy it, although it's not as much of a touristy trip for them as it is for some fans going over there, or maybe even a reporter going over there. Not that I would have much time to do anything fun in London, but you do have time to knock back a pint here or there. Yeah, I think it would be great. And I think they have a good chance. As it stands right now, they have about a 33% chance. So the last time I checked or did a story on it, it really was kind of down to the Patriots, Jets, and Browns. And the fact that they didn't get the Brazil game when they were one of two teams in contention along with the Packers, maybe they throw them the London bone. So we'll see. But I think there's a good chance.
Yeah, so the two games they played, Baltimore did play over there, but that was a different game for them. The Jaguars played the Falcons in week 4 and won 23-7. And then they played Buffalo in week 5 and won 25-20. But like you mentioned, that Buffalo game was technically a road game for Jacksonville. The Atlanta game was a home game for them. But yeah, they played the back-to-back weeks there. They're pretty comfortable playing over in London. Were both of those games in London, or was one... I don't know. Whatever. They were both on the other side of the Atlantic.
Yes, Ocean. They were. Both of those were in
both
London.
Both of them were in London. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So they didn't get like the Germany game or something like that. And for the Browns, they're kind of 0-2 right now on stuff they wanted to happen this season. They didn't get the Hall of Fame game and they didn't get the Brazil game. So I'm sure they would be ecstatic, like you said, to get that London game, because you've said it before. Kevin Stefanski loves taking these guys on the road and getting them away from that facility.
Yeah, and as far as the Hall of Fame game is concerned, they initially did want it, but I believe there was going to be a conflict with the Greenbrier, and it was more important for them to start training camp at the Greenbrier than it was for them to play in the Hall of Fame game. So I think that was one of those situations where they may have taken themselves out of contention for that when it wasn't going to line up. But so now I guess it will be interesting to figure out when that game is going to happen. And that, of course, then sometimes informs when the bye week is. And it'll be interesting. I think it's time to go back across the pond.
Well, then I think I speak for everyone on the beat. Thank you, Greenbrier, for having a conflict and making sure the Browns did not get the Hall of Fame game. We did get one draft question here. Eric Wapakoneta. Hey, Mary Kay, what position do the Browns value most in the draft right now?
That's a good question, because I'm assuming that the questioner means this year, because they probably
think so.
For this year, I would still put it at receiver or defensive lineman. And I think if they could come away with one of those two positions in this particular draft at number 54 and maybe the other one at number 85, I think they'd be really happy. They're not going to draft that way. They will stick to the best available player credo, but I do think that they are looking very heavily at receivers because they're going to be using a lot of them. We heard Deshaun Watson talking about the spread offense, right? You need a lot of receivers for that. So I think that that's a very high priority. And I think that defensive line also is a high priority.
Which actually, that brings us to one more draft question that we did get. Bud Genovese. I should know how to say his name because he's been at this for a long time. Bud in Santa Clara, California. Hey, Mary Kay, will the Browns take the best linebacker or defensive tackle at 54, as that seems to be rumored? And I think that kind of goes with what you were. It's hard to say. Like, I think Andrew Berry could do anything. There might be some positions that he might not touch with that pick, but I just think almost anything's on the table there.
Yes, almost anything is on the table. And the truth of the matter is, and he really means this when he says it, they're not really going to know until about 10 picks out what they're going to have available to them and what they might do. So at that point, maybe they do start thinking about moving up a little bit to number 52 or 51 to make sure they get the guy that they want. Or maybe they think, oh, here we are at number 44, and we don't think anybody in the next 10 are going to take our guy. So let's move back 7 more spots and pick up another draft pick. So I don't think they are going in with it saying, we are going to draft a receiver at number 54. They might, because it's a deep receiver draft, and you can't have too many good receivers these days. So that could very well happen, but they're not locked in on that at all.
Okay, there we go. A Hey Mary Kay edition of the Orange and Brown Talk podcast. Make sure you're subscribed on this podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We'll be getting you ready for the draft all next week, of course, because the Browns will be going on the clock. We'll be recapping everything that happens. We're going to do our first round mock draft, which we've been doing. I think it'll be the third time we've done that. So that'll be coming up next week as well. So like I said, just get subscribed on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. Find us on Instagram, Orange and Brown Talk, on YouTube, Cleveland Browns on Cleveland.com. And like I said earlier, become a Football Insider subscriber. It's Cleveland.com/Browns, the blue banner at the top of the page. Mary Kay, I'll talk to you later.
Sounds good.